of an unusual time here. I want to share with you three prophetic phrases. And when we say prophetic, I don't mean predicting the future. We just mean spiritual now, what God's saying. That's what the Bible means by it, is the mind of God being spoken in a situation. And I hope that you're all, in the midst of the discipleship and the things that we're doing, you're all developing a practice of waiting on the Holy Spirit. I love to worship and sing to Jesus. It's just awesome every day. Take time and just worship and love time in the Word and love to intercede. And I pray that Lord's Prayer, but it's just an awesome thing to be still and know that He's God and He's so willing to speak. And again, not just in a time where you're sitting in a room alone. It's through the day that we can have ears to hear. But it's awesome when He releases phrases that energize your heart and direct your faith and your prayers. I'll do this really quick. Each one of these could be a sermon, and I'll try to resist preaching them as that. But the first one is, I felt like the Lord said to me in the last 10 days, specifically again, and this has been a common theme, to resist a Babylonian spirit by stretching out our dwellings. And what that means is, and that's a core DNA philosophy for us, actually, but in Genesis chapter 11, you'll remember the story, 1 through 9, is the repopulation of the earth is happening after the flood. And it says that they came to a plain called Shinar. And Shinar is really where Iraq is right now, and it becomes the center of what's Babylon. And Babylon is in your Bible from Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, and the languages are confused. It's there. It's later at the end of your Old Testament in captivity up in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. And then Revelation 17, we'll see that there's a Babylonian system. And what that means is Babylon is the worship of man. It's the center of man, worshiping man and building for man. As you've heard before, my theory is the number 6 is numbers mean things. 666 is the number of man. 6 is the number of man, that it's man in man's power worshiping man. And that'll be the core of the Antichrist kingdom. And he'll do a lot, by the way, from that area. But what happens there is this core thing that's in us. They see a plane. They love it. They don't want to obey God and keep stretching out and filling the earth. They decide to build a building. They decide to build a building and a tower and a city that reaches to heaven and to make a name for themselves. This spirit is in the flesh of every man, every leader, every group. There's this tendency for us to want to build for ourselves and to build a name. We want to do it in our neighborhoods where we live. We want to do it with our churches and those kinds of things. And the Lord has really put it on my heart as a warning to resist that, because I'm compelled toward all the time. Because I love it when people go, wow, new life. Or, wow, look what you're doing. Or, you know, there's something about you. Just love that. And I don't know that all that's bad, but it gets a little weird when we start calling for allegiance to us instead of to the kingdom of God. And so we try to fight that in a major way here. There's certain things we don't do here that I'm sure make you uncomfortable at times because it doesn't feel as secure. But the Lord has called us, and on the opposite end, actually, to do Isaiah 54. The Lord spoke this passage to Amy and I 3 years ago, specifically in a time that we're to enlarge the place of our tent, that we're to stretch out the curtains in our habitations, to spread abroad to the right and the left, that our offspring would possess nations and they would people desolate cities. And what that meant was, is that we were to be an apostolic group, which just means sent, to send. We're to be about sending instead of gathering. The call is not come, 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 join us. The call is, in the midst of being with us, go, 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 and spread the kingdom where you can go. So that's why we do Wichita this morning. They could be sitting here, 80 to 100 folks more with us, but we want to spread out and go there. That's why the docks are in Plainview, and they meet. Last week was so fun. Ton of people in here, and we were all together in a unity service, but that's not our call to do on a regular basis. I believe that there is a blessing on those that will stretch out and keep going and not build unto their name and build unto their identity. And there is a curse on the opposite side for those that will just work on building their own name. And by the way, this is not just for churches. It can happen in your neighborhood. You're all living where you're living, I believe, purposely and by the sovereignty of God. And it is the Lord's heart that you not just build your home and your little, you know, plantation there, but that you're sending, you're reaching to your neighbors. I saw my neighbor Dave Shaw in hot sun yesterday. Dave, I was going to come help you, but I had to go somewhere and it looked really hot. But he was mowing my neighbor, our other neighbor's yard that's an older guy. And it had really grown up on him. And there's Dave just pushing his lawnmower and it's dying and putting gas in it because he's stretching out and trying to minister. And we all can do that and we want to obey that and be that people. So let us resist this Babylonian spirit as we grow and harvest comes. May we be sending all the time, even if it looks weak. Number two, that this is the appointed time for the answering of many prayers that have been prayed in the past, specifically, or even including decades past. That was a specific phrase I heard on Thursday morning. I was waiting before the Lord, and I heard it as clear. You know how you'll hear something in your spirit, not audibly, in my head. It was like, this is the appointed time for the answering of many prayers that have been prayed in the past, even decades ago. And it was in the spirit of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. You know, remember that? He says, write down the vision. Make it plain, Habakkuk. Get it down clear, because the vision awaits an appointed time. I don't know if you're like me, but I'd like the Lord to answer my prayer right now or right in the time I want, and often it doesn't happen. And I think it's very biblical. You ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. God's always answering prayer. But I don't know why, but I just want to encourage you, and I tried to encourage some leaders we're in partnership with internationally and nationally, and gave this word, and it helped their hearts a little bit, that this is a season for answering prayer. I want to encourage you for your expectation to get a little higher in faith of trusting the Lord, and that He's never, ever forgotten anything that we've prayed, and that we're going to see a season of harvest and blessing. In that vein, and lastly, number three, before we all pray, build my people. I keep hearing this. I've been hearing it for a long time. Build my people to be a living house of prayer. Clearly and biblically, we do not believe that intercession is a gift only given to some. We'll hear that said about people like Alida Poffenbarger. She has a gift of intercession. Now, I don't think that's true. I think Alida's kind of prophetic, and Alida has a mercy heart and servant heart, but she's just obeying and praying. Prayer is a call to everybody. It's a call to everyone. And I don't want to put guilt on you, but I believe that we're to be an organic, living, moving house of prayer. There are thousands of prayer ministries raising up in the earth. Many of them are in buildings. Some of them are in caves. Some of them are in house churches. They're in lots of different places. The Lord has really specifically called us to build an organic, relational network of people that are together as one man doing a strong ministry of prayer. We have some major assignments here. We really do. We've got some local assignment that I believe we're supposed to pray in a harvest here that comes in not by the well-speaking of a man, a good preacher, a good building, or good music. I believe that we're supposed to see something happen that is so clearly the work of the Holy Spirit. And the way that you get something that's so clearly the work of the Holy Spirit is you don't go to a table and think deep and write a lot and have meetings. You bow down and you pray. And so we're to pray in thousands and thousands of souls in this area. And I believe God is going to do tremendous things. And people will look and say, it wasn't a man that did that. It was the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we're to pray in a miracle kingdom advance in multiple U.S. cities. And I remind you of this, and we're about to minister, and I need you to help me. So please engage right now, because we're going to be the house of prayer right now and release power from this place. We did it in Wichita. We want to do it here. But when I was in Houston, you remember, 50,000 people in a city square block, 50 nations. I was taken around to Hindu temples, Buddhist temples, and mosque. Couldn't go in the mosque. We went by the most militant mosque in the United States, they say, where actually there's been some brutal things happen, we told you last week, to missionaries that have tried to go in there. And that team that's down there is having breakthrough into the Burmese people, into multiple of these nations, but we've got a team of 19 people down there that are depending on us weak Kansas people to pray with all of our hearts to get them through, to break through. You remember last week I said 9:30, 10 at night, this guy drives me by, says, that's the most militant mosque, arguably, in the United States. It's kind of, they're really intense. Tried to move missionaries in here, it got brutal. They did a brutal thing to a woman there, and the young couple had given their heart for ministry, had to move out because of what happened. And he said, please, Sam, pray for breakthrough. Pray for revival. We don't want to just to cede this land, if you will, give up this land, this place, these souls to Satan. So please pray. Pray for a team to go in there. So I'm praying right now for an Arabic team, an Arabic couple that knows we're maybe converted from Muslims to move into this place and to begin to minister. Then he drove me by a couple brothels. Brothels where young girls and all that was happening, prostitution's happening, massage parlors, and he begs me for prayer that we could break through there. Listen. We have a big assignment in prayer. This is not just, oh, bless us as we go do the real work. The real work begins in prayer. as we break through and break the stronghold of the enemy off of these places. And we've got an assignment for about 10 more cities in the United States to do this in and plant teams in them. And lastly, and you know it, we've got some international assignments. We've got people that are in the nations in India, in Ghana, as much as anybody, has begged me for prayer. He said, I'm telling you, people forget about the missionaries on the ground over there. Please pray. 3 more weeks in the palace and Jeddah in that area, and then 2 weeks in Egypt. He needs our prayers. Connie and Dale Dutcher, who you know are part of the Wichita Dale, they're in Ukraine right now. Ukraine, that war-torn country. They risked their life with their daughter, and they're over there. And just now, in the last few hours, a bunch of youth have come in to learn English, but they're going to teach them about Jesus. And they're begging for prayers. I got emails from Connie and Dale this morning. Please pray. Please pray. My phone was going off at 4 a.m. Please pray, because we're about to start sharing the gospel and discipling people. What a privilege that we can pray. What a privilege that we can pray and get things done in the Spirit. Our partners are growing, and our responsibilities are growing. And I don't mean to overwhelm you with it, but I want to lay this before you. Right now, from this place, we can affect change in nations and in cities. Amen? 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 We can do it. We can do it. And I know you've heard 1,000, maybe 100. Come on, you got to pray sermons. I don't mean that. I want to say this. You get to pray. We get the privilege from Kansas, the heart of this nation, to partner with many to bring breakthrough. So I'm going to do 2 things. Would you, number one, pray with me and agree with me as I pray just for a couple of these things. And I need to see you. There you are. We'll turn that back on when we start videoing. Everybody looking me in the eye? It's Sam Frick time, I know. And I know it's a bigger crowd than a small house church. I cannot tell you how much power we have right now to effectively change things. So your amen, I believe, is like pushing the throttle forward. Okay? I don't know how better to say it. When you amen what somebody says, it drives it into the heart of God in a with more velocity, more intensity. Men and women agreed. There's a dynamic power when we do it. But we want to agree in the light and not in the darkness. In the name of Jesus and not in the name of man or a philosophy. So together now, let's agree. And I hope that you'll have faith to add your amen right now. I hope you all minister with me right now, okay? Hey, youth guys, how you doing? I need your amen, Beale boys. Amen. Here we go. Ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done upon this earth as it is in heaven, in the nations as it is in heaven. Father, we come as a people who Jesus talked about. Luke 18:1, it said he gave them that parable of the unjust judge and the widow so that they would not lose heart, but they would always pray and never give up. Lord, I pray for those in the room that have lost heart in prayer. Revive our hearts. Revive our hearts with faith in what prayer can accomplish in Jesus' name. I pray that you would stir up a revival of prayer among us where we start seeing answers to prayer on a regular basis. Father, right now we lift up our friends in Houston. We ask in Jesus' name that you break through in this mosque, this Crescent apartment complex, that Lord, the stories we hear in North Africa of Muslims having dreams of Jesus and being converted, Lord, do that in that place. We pray that the leaders of the mosque, the attenders of the mosque, would begin to have dreams of Jesus, that you would send in people with the gospel, and that, Lord, there would be a great harvest. Lord of the harvest, you asked us to pray, and we agree with you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So thrust forth workers into that harvest field. Win people that have never seen Jesus before, we pray. We pray for the brothels, specifically, there's multiple, but specifically the 2 that we showed the picture of last week and we drove by. Would you, Lord, shut these things down? Let the darkness stop. Deliver the young girls and the women that are they're in slavery and prostitution. Lord, deliver the men that are filled with perversion and are afflicted by the enemy, that are abusing people. We pray that the gospel would break out there. Lord, thank you for our partners that are going to the door and taking food to the young girls, trying to minister and love on them. Lord, we pray for salvation. We pray that you shut these places down. Lord, activate the police and others that are around that this might happen in Jesus' name. Everybody looking at me. Anybody got faith that can happen? From here in Kansas, you can shut down a brothel in Texas? You think so? Well, either the Bible's true or it's not. It's about us taking the time to do it, obey, and believe. I'm looking forward to a good report to tell you about them being saved. Listen, we've heard stories of in brothels, one prostitute gets saved, and she starts leading all the other prostitutes to Jesus. Wouldn't they be great to happen? Wouldn't that be great? That can happen if a people will pray, if a people will press in. Paul's begging for prayer.